Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, it's Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And today we want to talk to you about social media. Do you use it? Do your kids use it? Are you worried? Could it possibly be turning you into an irritated hermit who likes to scream at people as they walk by your front door? Or is that just the natural progression of the way I'm aging? I might have shared too much information just now.
There's Jonathan is partially joking, but there is a lot of...
No, I really do yell at people. But other than that, yes.
There's a lot of fear out there, I think, and a lot of news stories that are kind of amping up that fear. And there have been several studies that talk of this doom and gloom about oh no, social media is so big that we're not going to talk to each other in person anymore.
Right.
Total communication breakdown. Cats and dogs living together, that kind of thing.
Nice.
This is not pop stuff, but I like to just, yes, eek. Anyway.
Yeah, no. We quote documentaries all the time here on Tech Stuff. It's perfectly fine. And I agree entirely, Lauren. I mean, from an armchair psychology perspective, if I were to just look at the whole idea of social media and human interaction in general, part of me would think, hey, social media is replacing that face-to-face human interaction that we tend to think of as being really important as part of our development as a person, right?
Or that seemed to be really important for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of socialization. And the worry is that without that face-to-face interaction, with something else replacing it, we would be less capable of dealing with those interactions when they come up. And a lot of the information about this tends to be anecdotal, which anyone who's done any science knows is not reliable when it comes to actually measuring.
It's not actually anything. Science.
No.
At
no.
all. There have been a few studies. There's one that you will hear quoted all the time was from the Stanford Institute for the Quantitative Study of Society. This one said, this one was in 2005, to be fair. So this was a few years ago.
Right.
It was before Twitter and Facebook were really huge.
Right.
But it found that, compared to people who, do not use the internet frequently, those who do, spend 70 minutes less per day interacting with their family, 25 minutes less per day sleeping, and 30 minutes less watching television, although I'm not sure why that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, that could go the other way.
But that family thing, that 70 minutes less a day talking to your family, that sounds awful.
Right. Unless, of course, you're interacting with your family online.
Exactly. And that's what we're – I think it turns out that that is what we are doing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things where I think the stereotype, the thing that we all imagine, is the person sequestered in his or her room – you know, it's dark, it's
hunched
gloomy.
In their cave.
Yeah, it's depressing. And
probably playing WoW.
Yeah, the only interaction they get is whomever's online.
It's through a keyboard and over a microphone.
Right, and that's it. And it could be asynchronous communication, meaning that, you know, you leave a message, then later on the person reads it, and then they leave a message. This is essentially the way email works. It's asynchronous, as opposed to a face-to-face conversation, which is generally synchronous, unless you're talking to me, in which case it's just a monologue. But... that's the way I work. But anyway, that's generally speaking, that tends to be the view, is that it's a person who is withdrawing more and more. And it's this idea that social media could ultimately be dehumanizing us, at least in the sense of how we define what a human is right now.
Right. And to be fair, isolation is a very scary thing. There's all kinds of studies about how it can be as bad for you as smoking and obesity.
Sure.
How it increases cancerous tumors in mice.
Wow. It's developmentally, it's a very big problem. I mean, there are actual cases of tragic cases of children who are deprived the ability to interact with other people, and how that has impacted their ability to develop as a human.
Yeah.
You know, they never really develop beyond a certain what would be equivalent to a certain age, like a younger age. Like, there are stories about kids who were in terrible conditions and, you know, grow up and never really develop beyond, say, a 7 or 8 year old mental
sure.
level.
Lonely subjects have been found to have less brain activity than people with a healthy and diverse social network.
Yes. Whenever I get lonely, I'm not thinking of anything. It's just me and
Supernatural
Marathon. You had it, man, before I could even say it. Yes, it's just me and the next episode of Supernatural. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, certainly
those
not.
Those brothers are dreamy.
I wouldn't know. I don't watch the show.
They are dreamy, Lauren.
Look, I believe you.
You know, okay. Cool. So anyway, yes, these are all perceptions. Now, when it comes down to science, there are a lot of different studies that look at this, and there's some conflicting results. And part of that is because of the nature of the studies. Part of it is that, you know, the studies are not necessarily looking at the exact same criteria, right? So it could be that one seems to contradict another, but
sure.
It may be that in a broader perspective, they're not really contradictory. It's just that
they're looking at different aspects. Because when people are talking about social isolation, they're talking about the size, the intimacy, the diversity, and the location of your social network.
Right. Yes. There's lots of different terms for this as well, about whether or not you have a certain number of confidants, like people that you really connect with. These are the people with whom you share those deep personal things that are not something you would talk about
to your neighbor, unless
right.
they're your confidant or someone on the street or your coworker necessarily. It's who you go to when you're upset or when you're happy. It's the first person that, if you're me, you text message when something terrific happens to you.
I haven't received any text messages. Okay. So awkward. Moving on. I'm dealing with a little heartbreak here. But
you
know, it's okay. I don't have to be everyone's best friend.
Well, I mean, the thing
is, just
wish
I was someone's best
friend. Well, the thing is that people really the average person has 1.8 ish, and that's you know, 1.8 close
yeah.
contacts like that.
Depending on which survey you're
yeah,
looking at, because
yeah.
some of these One of the surveys I really looked at, which is one that you sent me the information to, so I thank you, Lauren, because without it, I would have nothing to talk about. But it was the Pew Internet Personal Networks and Community Survey. Now, before I even get into the data here, I should stress they surveyed 2,512 adults. Now, that's a pretty small sample size.
It's a sample size, and that's not.
So, any results we get, you have to keep in mind this is a very small sample. But within that sample, they drew some pretty big conclusions. One of those was that 79% of American adults said they used the internet. So, wow, 21% didn't. But anyway, 79% said they used the internet, and nearly half of adults, or 59% of those who said they used the internet, say they use at least one social networking service.
Sure.
So this is stuff like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, that kind of thing. And this is sort of tangential to our conversation here, but I found it really interesting. Out of the ones they surveyed, 92% of those who used social networking services said they used Facebook. So 92% of them were like, Facebook is one of the ones I use.
Yeah.
29% used MySpace, 18% LinkedIn, and 13% used Twitter. So that means more people are using MySpace than Twitter, which to me says the 29% of people who said that are all in a band. I mean, really? When was the last time you used MySpace?
I deleted my MySpace account about a year ago.
Yeah. So now, granted, it's coming back because Timberlake's brought sexy and MySpace back. Those are the two things he brought back. I don't know where he went to find them, but he brought them back. But yeah, I don't use MySpace either. It just blows my mind that more people are using MySpace in this survey anyway than LinkedIn and Twitter.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that is indicative of the overall usage. I mean, Facebook, as of October 2012 had, 1 billion monthly active users.
Yeah. That's a huge, huge number.
And 584 million daily active users.
Wow.
That's a whole bunch of people. That's more people than there are even user accounts on Twitter. As of December, Twitter had more than 200 million monthly active accounts.
That's December 2012. Just in case you people in the far future are listening to back episodes of Tech Stuff.
The incredible future.
Where's my jetpack? Is it on the way?
Use your time machine to bring it back to me.
Right. There's no way they can tell me. That's the sad thing. They're like, you've been using it for 3 years. I'm like, oh, that's... Time travel stinks.
Right.
I mean, because I only get to go one direction, and it's really slow, second by second, as it turns out.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road, and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, the interesting thing about this survey, I mean, we've been kind of talking about the things they found, but one of the things they were specifically looking for was this idea of social isolation. And does the use of social media contribute to social isolation? Is it true that we are actually withdrawing from society in favor of the interactions that we have on social networking services? And according to the survey...
Spoiler alert? No.
No, it's not happening.
Not that.
Yeah, they said that according to the survey, that social isolation has not really changed since 1985, which... This is just for people who aren't paying really close attention. 1985, not really a big year for the internet. 85, if you were using the internet, you were in a research facility or a university. You were not the average person because, of course, the World Wide Web, the main way we tend to think about interacting with the internet, apart from apps and stuff, that's mm-hmm. starting to really take control. But sure. World Wide Web wasn't a thing until 92. So 85... obviously is before social networking services are a thing.
There were like three people on Prodigy as of 89, yeah. I think, and that was yeah. about it.
So. Yeah, so if you're on a bulletin board system, maybe. But it's before social networking services, obviously. But the extent of social isolation hasn't really changed since then. So that tells us that it's very possible social networking services don't have a big impact. Now, we can't say that for sure. Because there are a lot of different factors.
So many factors.
Yeah, it could be that we are reducing social isolation at an exponential rate, but the social networking services are pulling that back. So it could be that there is an impact on social isolation. It's just that other factors are pushing it forward, so it ends up balancing out.
So it evens out, right.
Yeah, this is the complex thing about science. This is why drawing conclusions is difficult. You have to do a lot of studies and really look at all the different factors and try and control for as many variables as possible, because otherwise, whatever you say could turn out to be not so true in the grand scheme of things. But based upon what this survey found, it looks like social networking services are not turning us all into hermits.
This isn't from the same Pew Internet study. I think it's from a different one. I didn't write down which study it's from in my notes. But it's been found that mobile phone use has actually made our contact lists smaller but more intense.
That makes sense. So, for instance, you know, it's not that the relationships are less meaningful.
Right.
It just means that the ones that we contact, we're really depending upon them, and that we might be using a phone in order to make that connection, as opposed to necessarily, you know, walking across the street or driving to a friend's house or meeting up at a coffee shop or whatever. To me, you know, that just means that we're transferring that same need for interaction to a different medium. It doesn't mean that we're losing that interaction. It just means that it's a, you know, we're taking advantage of technology in ways that we couldn't before, which is awesome because, I mean, I'm sure you've known people who have moved away. You yourself have moved a few times.
Absolutely. I play Halo every Wednesday night so that I get to hang out with my friends who don't live here anymore.
Right. So this is technology giving us those social interactions that otherwise we might lose.
Right.
If we were to relocate or our friends relocate. And in my view, that's a huge positive. It means that those relationships that have been formed over years, sometimes decades of knowing one another, don't fade away. They still remain relevant because technology allows us to continue to build those relationships. Now, those interactions, the nature of them might change a
right.
bit, but it's still a very important part of who we are and how we interact.
Yeah. And for some people, you know, there are mentally and physically disabled people, the elderly, new mothers who can't get out of the house, all kinds of people who they've been doing medical studies with to see if use of the internet can actually give them better social interaction.
Sure.
It's been found to reduce depression in lots of those groups, mm-hmm. and has really helped people out. So,
yeah, I've even seen that there have been studies done with people who have various mental health conditions who otherwise would find it very difficult to socialize. They either don't...
Not just awkward like me and Jonathan.
Right. No. The people who really find it difficult mm-hmm. to form any kind of social contact. It's just one of those things that it's a block for them.
Sure.
And it can be very frustrating, especially if they observe that other people are capable of doing this. And there are so many factors involved here. There's an entire taboo about mental health in
yeah.
our culture that's problematic. And so
and awful.
yeah. And it feeds on itself, right? It becomes
sure.
this thing where it just mounts on the person who's experiencing this. And some of the studies had people using social networks and they were finding it much easier to interact with people and making suggestions on how to create a social network with tools that would allow them to have even greater interaction.
Yeah. That's great.
Which, yeah, you think about that, like this is what technology should do.
Yes.
Technology should help people so that they can interact any way they want in a way that brings them the satisfaction that people can have, you know, people who don't have these conditions tend to find naturally.
Right.
I like this. To me, it's a great thing, and anything that decreases that sense of isolation and that sense that taboo mm-hmm. is a good thing to
yeah.
me.
And it's an added dimension. It doesn't have to be a replacement. It can be, and things change. I mean, Socrates was terrified that writing was going to ruin people's brains.
Oh, I want to talk about this, but we're going to get into that. All right, now hang on one second. Now let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to the show.
So you were talking about Socrates and writing.
Yes.
Right. The idea that writing things down means that you're taking stuff out of your brain and putting it on paper or stone or clay or whatever, right? A tree, your buddy Bill who stands still for really long periods of time, whatever. You're taking it out of your brain, you're putting it on something else, and therefore you are no longer relying on your brain to process that information because you've offloaded it. Socrates thought this was a terrible idea. The interesting thing is that attitude has continued up to present day, which is, you know, I assume why you brought it up, because today we have computers and smartphones and tablets.
Calculators.
Yeah. I could not do complex equations anymore without the use of a calculator because, frankly, I just don't use those skills as frequently as I used to.
Well, you're a writer. You're not a mathematician.
Yeah, I'm not a good one either. And then mathematician, that is. I'm an excellent writer. You should read some of my articles at howstuffworks.com. You know what I'm talking about. Exactly. I mean, Nicholas Carr wrote the famous article for The Atlantic, Is Google Making Us Stupid?
Right.
This whole idea that because we've got so much information on the internet,
that we have access to information and therefore we're less intelligent.
Right, right. We don't have to remember stuff. We don't have to know stuff. We just...
Because IMDb knows it, so...
Right. Yeah, yeah. Why do I need to even process this information? All I have to do is type in a search query in Google, pull up the first answer, and then repeat it back. It doesn't even mean that I even process it on a level where I understand it. Social networking services, some people were worried a similar thing is going on with the social aspect,
right,
as we're talking with the memory and processing of information on the internet. This idea that social networking services are creating a less meaningful way of connecting with people. But things like this Pew Research survey suggest otherwise. It suggests that we're getting just as much meaningful interaction online and through technology as we would face-to-face. Now, the actual nature of that interaction may change somewhat.
Somewhat.
But it's still important, and it's still helpful.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you know, that kind of fear of technology. To be fair, we here, Tech Stuff, are probably biased towards technology, just maybe a little bit.
Please listen to all our episodes.
But on your computers.
And contact us at techstuff@discovery.com.
But no, I mean, fear of technology isn't going to change the fact that technology is out there, and it's not going to change the fact that things are changing. Change happens, society changes, everything changes, you know, and people were also worried, in the Industrial Revolution that because these machines were starting to automate human processes, that the quality of workspace interaction was going to go down.
Right.
And all kinds of other ripple effects out from that.
For sure. That's where we get the whole sabotage thing. Because people will, you know, the whole idea, the sabot, throwing the wooden shoe into the automated loom to destroy it. So any our old listeners to, not old listeners, but people who have listened to old episodes of Tech Stuff know that we've talked about that many, many times.
Yeah. And it's not... The answer is yes, things are changing, but no, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. In fact, again, going back to that Pew survey, one of the other things I thought was really interesting was that they found that people who use the web a lot, again, another one of those perceptions is that these are people who don't get out as much. They don't interact in other ways other than online, but that doesn't seem to be the case according to the people that they surveyed. According to the survey, the folks who used the web were actually more likely to interact with people in their immediate physical environment. They were more likely to do things like speak to a neighbor on a regular basis. It's 61% of respondents said that they talk to a neighbor at least once per month, and they found that bloggers are 72% more likely to belong to a local voluntary association than those who do not blog.
Huh.
So there you've got people who are very much invested in the online world, but not at the expense of the physical one. So directly contradicting that armchair psychology approach, which is why we always say, like, yeah, there's that whole idea of common sense dictates, which often means I am wrong, but it seems like I'm right. I do this all the time. I'm like, well, common sense.
Clearly,
blah, blah,
this
blah,
thing.
Talking out of my butt because I don't have any data in front of me. But yeah, they also found out, they said web users are 45% more likely to visit a cafe. did not say if it was an internet cafe, which obviously would increase the odds, but 52% more likely to visit a library. Didn't say if that was because that's how they access the internet, but hey, 34% more likely to visit a fast food restaurant. That I don't necessarily think is a good thing.
Mm.
You know what? I haven't visited a fast food restaurant in a very long time.
No, good for you.
I'm not a fast food fan.
Yeah, me neither.
69% more likely to visit other restaurants. Nah, I'm in that category.
We might like food.
And, I love food. And then 42% more likely to visit a public park, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
So we're talking about people who have a real investment in their community and an interest in the world outside the realm of the computer. So that does contradict
that stereotype. They are going outside. They're just taking pictures to upload when they get home.
Right. That reminds me of something I wanted to talk about that wasn't on the notes, but it was, it's this idea. It's something that's interesting. So one of the conflicts that people have with whole social networking services and everything is that it is constantly interrupting our daily lives.
Right.
If we are connected in various ways so that, there are times where it's inappropriate for you to stop what you're doing and respond to someone on Facebook or Twitter. Like you're at work or you are in a conversation with someone or you're up on stage developing a keynote address to a bunch of people. I am so sorry. But
I was going to say like driving, but those are all good experience.
Also important. Yeah. So, anyway, have you ever been to dinner with someone or a meal with someone when the very first thing that happens is smartphone hits the table?
Yes, that drives me so crazy.
Are you ever that person or do you leave your smartphone away?
Okay, to be fair, I'm very occasionally that person, but usually it's revenge smartphone use. Usually it's after someone else has brought out their smartphone. I have on occasion gotten a little bit huffy and gone, well, fine, I'm gonna check Facebook too.
Well, Lauren, I hate to break this to you, but you're going to get way worse because now you're a Tech Stuff co-host.
Crap.
And let me put it this way. When I hang out with other technology podcast hosts and we all go out to eat, the table creaks under the weight of the electronics that hit it first thing. I am not kidding. I remember meals with people like, and I'm going to be dropping some names here, folks, because my back hurts.
Get ready.
So I got to drop some weight.
Get ready.
But people like Sarah Lane, Ayaz Akhtar, and Tom Merritt of This Week in Tech, or Molly Wood of CNET, or Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood and Veronica Belmont. I've been to dinner with these folks in various settings, and invariably the first thing that happens is everyone's smartphone hits the table, and anytime you're not looking at a menu or talking, you're looking at your cell phone.
Right.
And I include myself. I am not immune to this. This is something I've done too. And some people are better about it than others. But it is one of those things that can be kind of distracting. And I will admit, this is one of those behaviors that is it's becoming more and more socially acceptable in the sense that everyone's doing it,
But I'm a little bit eked out by it.
Yeah. It can be insulting if you're talking to someone and you just see them looking, because their full attention is not on you. But the reason why I brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear.
There's a restaurant in Los Angeles called Eva Restaurant.
Eva.
EVA. And I'm sure it's not the only restaurant that does this, but Eva Restaurant has a policy, which is if you come inside the restaurant and you surrender your cell phone to the waiter when you come in, you get a 5% discount on your bill.
That's delightful.
So you come in, the waiter explains the policy.
Especially in L.A.
Yeah.
Goodness.
You have the choice of, no kidding. All those actors waiting for the breakout call. But yeah, or those agents waiting for their actors to call them. But yeah, it means that you hand it over and then you concentrate on the food and the experience. And you know, the restaurant's policy is that this way you're really focusing on the meal and you're enjoying it for what it is as opposed to distracting yourself. And the meal is just something you're doing in between tweets.
Right, right.
It also means Instagram hates it because there's so many fewer pictures of food flooding the internet.
Which we are in dire lacking of.
Yeah.
So,
food and cats, people. We need more food and cats on the internet. Stat.
I'm starting me and my Tumblr followers are starting a drive for more cute hedgehogs on the internet. I think that this is a thing that needs to happen.
Yeah. The walrus had a good run.
It did. Well, that bucket.
Yeah.
That bucket.
It was a bucket list.
Oh no!
Bucket list.
Oh dear, that one. That one.
That was such a stretch. That wasn't even a joke.
That wasn't. That was. I'm not sure.
That was just words. That's what that was.
But no. But I mean, it is. It can divide our attention, and I do. I've seen a couple news reports lately that had this announcer being shocked. Did you know that when young people wake up, they check their cell phone before getting out of bed?
That's what I do.
I'm like, people don't do that?
Yeah, first of all, my cell phone is my alarm.
Of course. Mine too, yeah. So of course.
That means by turning off my alarm, I am checking my cell phone.
Right.
And I don't get out of bed to turn off my alarm.
Yeah.
Because that's just ridiculous.
That would help me wake up, probably. I should do that, but no, I do not.
I'm a morning person anyway, so as soon as those eyes pop open, I'm ready to go. I'm not happy about it. I'm not a cheerful morning person. I'll still be grouchy at you. I'm just alert.
Yeah.
That's all.
But that and the kind of behavior where you see more people at a concert, for example, taking photos of the concert than you do watching the concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's a thing.
And that's, you know.
Yeah. I get grouchy at concerts too.
That's
why every concert needs to be a private show of just me and the musician.
One of those get off my lawn kind of moments.
Yeah. There's only a couple of musicians I know who'd be willing to do that.
To
actually do like okay, it's just me and you. I'll play my songs for you. Someone that we know together.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. A good friend.
But that's because
of ours.
She's nice.
Yes.
And it would be, you know, she'd essentially be doing a favor for me.
Yes.
So I'm like, I like hearing you sing. But yeah, no, I think this is a good discussion. I mean, I think ultimately the takeaway we have to have is that we do not have a full spectrum of data to really support this one way or the other, but it looks like it's not as damaging as we would first think.
Perhaps assume.
And it may in fact be helpful. Since it's kind of a social science thing, it's what we call one of the soft sciences.
Uh-huh.
And whenever you get people involved, it really messes with the variables. So, because we're not all the same, as it turns out.
Crazy.
Yeah. Funky about that, right? So, ultimately, we may not be able to come down and say definitively whether it's good or bad. It looks like it's not terrible.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good thing for me. I actually really depend on my social networks to stay in touch with my friends because my schedule is so busy, I don't get to spend as much time with them in meet space as I would like.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think of it as a good thing, and I'm glad that it looks like it's not going to bring the world to its knees. So, yeah, do you have anything else to say before we sign off?
That's about all I got.
All right. Well, guys, if you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, well, here's what I would like you to do. Go and write us a little email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com or contact us on Facebook or Twitter, unless you are completely freaked out about social networking sites at this point. But if you're not, our handle there is techstuffhsw, and Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.